think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Good morning. Joining us now is Mark Lauder. Mark is the former he's the former spokesperson for the current Vice President Mike Pence. Wow, that took me. Let's try that again.
I think
Mark,
you got it.
Yeah, I got it. Mark, welcome to Mornings on the Mall. How are you?
Good morning. Thankfully, it doesn't have to go on a business card. That'd be a lot.
Wanted to talk to you about this tax bill. How confident are you that they're going to pass this bill?
Very confident. The House Republicans have been targeting this for a while. It's one thing that Republicans have been talking about for a good long time. They need to cut taxes, and they'll have the votes this afternoon to do it.
And do you think that we already know that we have some senators? We've got Ron Johnson, who says that he is not going to vote for this. So they're going to be walking a very, very fine razor's edge with this. Do you see anyone else pulling at all? Yeah, obviously not. You think that he's going to be the only one?
Well, the Senate will vote next week after Thanksgiving. It'll go through committee, either this week. Before they leave for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. But when the Senate takes it up next week, and they still have a little bit of time to get all the votes there, but I think they're very close. The Senate bill is, it targets middle-class Americans. That way they can get tax cuts there. Also reforming the corporate tax code to create jobs, increase wages. And while there still be a little bit of discussion, on the periphery of this, but I think by and large, it looks like the Senate's getting very close to having the votes they need to pass that as well.
The most contentious part of this seems to be the salt taxes. Will there be a full deduction of them? Will there be a limit on them when all is said and done, or not at all?
Well, that'll be interesting to work out, because the House bill does include limits. It caps property tax deductions at $10,000, but does not include state and local income taxes. The Senate version does not include any of that. And there's a really big policy argument that needs to be taking place there, because when you look at the SALT deductions, for the state and local income taxes, I mean, it does disproportionately benefit the wealthiest 1%. More than 70% of people don't get any benefit from this deduction at all. And there's a great focus on it in terms of the amount of people who are making six figures. About 88% of the people who take the SALT deduction are making over six figures already. And you also have a broader argument in terms of you have low tax states, like the state that I'm originally from in Indiana, where they have low property taxes, low state and local income taxes. And yet, if you have to shrink the size of their tax cut to offset the fact that there are high tax states like California, Illinois, New York, New Jersey, is it fair to tell someone out in a state that has low taxes, or even such as like Texas or Tennessee that has no state income taxes, that they should have a smaller tax cut because you have some other states that have very high taxes that haven't been able to manage their budgets as well?
But wait, don't those states also, though, those high tax states, first of all, six figures is nothing to live, that's what it costs to live in those states. So a lot of people would benefit from it, not just rich people. But those states also traditionally get less money back from the federal government. For every dollar they send to Washington, they traditionally get less money back.
Well, again, there's a very good policy argument. This has been discussed for a long time. I mean, even President Reagan in 1985 was talking about the need to eliminate the state and local tax deduction, because it was basically incentivizing or covering for some states who raise their taxes that are much further or much higher than they are in other areas. And it doesn't treat every American fairly in terms of where you have some people from very low tax states paying for the high tax climates in other areas. by eliminating it, you also bring a new awareness to folks in those states to go, we need to get our state taxes under control, and maybe that's an opportunity for them to start lowering their taxes.
Mark, of course, you've worked, obviously, with the vice president. What is the vice president's role on Capitol Hill? I know he's been an envoy many times on this. What is he doing these days?
Well, right now he's obviously spending a lot of time talking to both members of the House and the Senate about the need to pass tax reform.
Right.
But they're also not stopping there. They're continuing their work in terms of repealing and replacing Obamacare, getting a budget passed,
right,
investing in our military. So there are a lot of things that are going on right now. The vice president plays a leading role on behalf of the president on Capitol Hill, since he spent so much time as a member of Congress before becoming elected governor of Indiana.
Yes.
So it's just one of the many roles that he plays, and it's a natural fit for him since he is so familiar with the legislative process.
I want to talk about one of his roles that's really important in the legislative process. It's to be that tie-breaking vote, and it's also to preside over the Senate. We've talked to people who've been advising the White House, including Larry Kudlow, on this tax reform plan. And Larry's beef here is that, look, no matter what happens, Mike Pence can overrule the parliamentarian in order to get reconciliation approved, meaning just a simple majority vote will get this tax plan through the Senate, no matter how it ends up in terms of its budget score. Is that the kind of thing that Mike Pence would do? Would he overrule the parliamentarian if he had to?
Well, I wouldn't want to get out there ahead of him before something like that, because obviously you have specific instances rather than just making general blanket statements. But one of the things that the leader, Senator McConnell, and then the leadership, they're very traditional and they honor the rules and the histories of that chamber. So doing something like that may not necessarily be where the leadership would like to be. While I know there are some members out there that would prefer to see more of a bold tactic to overturn some of the arcane rules and the historical standards of the Senate. But you have a lot of senators, you have a lot of in leadership that respect those traditions of the Senate and the previous rules. So it would probably be something that would have to be looked at a very specific level. But I wouldn't want to make a blanket statement ahead of the vice president doing anything. And it definitely would be something that would be done in conjunction with the leadership.
Right. So you're not obviously ruling it out. This is actually part of the rules. It's just a little used aspect of those rules in the Senate. And again, this is like, if it comes down that the score is even slightly away from what the parliamentarian will allow, the vice president can overrule it, nevertheless say, hey, getting an entire tax package through that they want without having to make any adjustments for the deficit.
Well, and also, even if the chair, in this case, the president of the Senate being the vice president, were to overrule that parliamentarian, there would still be a vote to uphold that ruling of the chair. So you still have, you'd have to have the leadership, you'd have to have the membership on board with those kinds of things. And so, again, it's something that you always take a look at. You even take a look at the change a few years ago, that Democrats made allowing, removing the filibusters from confirmation of judicial nominees.
That's
a few
right.
years ago, and then come back, a few years later, a decade later or so, and then they're decrying the same rule that they did. So it's just something you always have to be careful of when you start meddling and tampering with some of the longtime traditions of the Senate, and that's something that I know that the vice president and the leadership are very cognizant of.
Well, it's super interesting, something that we'll all keep our eyes open for. Mark Lotter, really appreciate you giving us an update on everything that's going on, sir.
Not a problem. Great to be with you.
Nice to talk to you. Chat with you soon.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.